Now in chapter 23, we have something here that's quite interesting. Here goes Ezekiel again, way out on a limb, right to the left, if you please. He's way out in left field here. The parable of two sisters. Now that's something. And of all things, one was named Oholah, and the other was Oholiab. And I think that when he gave this parable, but people actually began to smile. They said, where in the world is this fellow going with a story like that? Well, he's going to give them the parable now, chapter 23. And here we go again, friends. The word of the Lord came again unto me. Now, this man, Ezekiel, just didn't make this up. God gave him this message. He says, son of man, there were two women, the daughters of one mother, and they committed harlotries in Egypt. They committed harlotries in their youth. There were their breasts pressed. There they bruised the breasts of their virginity. They no longer virgins, but they became harlots. What in the world is he talking about? Listen to him. And the names of them were Oholah, the elder, and Oholibah, her sister. And they were mine, and they bore sons and daughters. These were their names. Now, what's he talking about? Samaria is Oholah. That is, the northern kingdom of Israel is Oholah. And Jerusalem, Judah in the south, is Oholiab. Now, what in the world is he talking about? Well, we have to first get the meaning of their names. The meaning of Oholiab, that is, of Judah and Jerusalem in the south, is my tent is in her. And who's saying that? God's saying that. God's saying, my tent is in her. That is, it was in Jerusalem, in the southern kingdom, that there was there this wonderful temple of Solomon, patterned after the tabernacle in the wilderness. And that was where the people approached God. Wonderful. But what does Oholah mean? Well, that means her own tent. The northern kingdom rebelled, and you remember old Jeroboam put up two golden calves, one in Bethel, the other up in Samaria, and tried to keep the people from coming south. Now, it's very easy for the southern kingdom and the prophets there to say, oh, God's going to judge these golden calves up, and he surely did. But what about the southern kingdom? He's going to judge it too, because they, going through the ritual of a dead religion, thought that they were right with God and they were living in sin. And today, one of the things that is cutting the nerve of the spiritual life, even of fundamental Christians and fundamental churches, is the lives of some of the members. Oh, my friend, somebody says, well, I'm saved by grace. You sure are, and that's the only way you'll ever get saved. It's the only way I'll ever get saved. I know that. God's not saving but grace, then I couldn't possibly be saved. But that doesn't mean you're not to live for him. And that doesn't mean he's not going to judge you. And that doesn't mean that you can actually kill the spiritual life of a church. These are two girls that you ought to get acquainted with. Oholah and Oholiab. Oholibab. What names of all things? And this man, I think, attracted a little attention by that. You know, I think of that whimsical story that comes out of my Southland. A poor tenant farmer, we call them sharecroppers down there, and croppers is the name given to them. He had one of these little donkeys, burros, some folk call them. And had him hitched up to a wagon in which one line was leather and the other was a cotton rope. And a friend wanted to ride with him one day, and he told him, fine, get in, I'll take you to town. And so the fellow sat down in a spring wagon, and then he got out, the owner, and took a 2x4 out of his wagon, went up there in front and hit this mule on the head. And this man was thunderstruck. He couldn't believe. Well, he says, why in the world do you do that? He says, well, I always have to get his attention before I start. And why is Ezekiel doing this? Because he's dealing with a lot of hard-headed people. God said that. And he does this to get their attention. We sometimes criticize some preachers for using sensational messages or sensational subjects, and I always have great sympathy for them. How else are you going to get people to listen today? Because they don't want to hear the same message again and again. They'll sing, "Tell me the old, old story," but they don't want to hear it. Maybe they want you to sing it to them. I don't know, but they don't want to hear it. So that this man is using unusual methods. Now, the Assyrians, they've already taken the northern kingdom. Verse 12, she doted upon the Assyrians, her neighbors, captains and rulers, clothed most gorgeously, horsemen riding upon horses, all of them desirable young men. Now, this, by the way, is quite unusual in this 23rd chapter. Refers back, actually, to a historical event that took place when old King Ahaz was on the throne. If you go back and read 2 Kings 16:10 through 20, you'd pick up this incident, that he went up to Damascus to meet Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, and he saw an altar that was at Damascus. And he thought that was the prettiest altar he'd ever seen. So he sent Urijah the priest to get a picture of it, the pattern of it, and to make one like it. You see, he went in for this type of thing, of attempting to improve the worship, you know, as if that had something to do with the souls of men. Well, God noted that, and he's judged that northern kingdom for it. Now we have here the Babylonian invasion that's now going to take place, and there's no alternative for it. And you find that he's judging both the northern and the southern kingdom, because both had turned away from the living and true God. One went brazenly into idolatry, and the other pretended to worship the living and true God. And friends, it might be well today for God's people, all of us for that matter. Paul said, examine yourself to see whether you're in the faith or not. Somebody says, don't you believe in the security of the believer? I sure do, but I believe in the insecurity of make-believers. And we need to examine ourselves. When you go to church, do you really worship God? What does the Lord Jesus mean to you? Oh, to be drawn to the person of Christ and to love him and to serve him. How close are you to him? Do you really love him? He doesn't want your service unless you do. He said to Simon Peter, you love me? And until he could say it, he says, now you can go feed the sheep. I'll use you. That's the most important thing of all.